It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
He sued him for frivolous lawsuit.
Frivolous lawsuit.
Basically, what he said... Lawsuit. Lawsuit.
And Chad P.
Joey has a little lamb.
I love that song.
Okay, fine.
I'd like
you want
to
use
that.
Class is in.
Hey, it's Rock School. Good afternoon. My name is Joe Burns, broadcasting live from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University. I am a professor. I make my living here. So does Chad P.
That's me.
That's him sitting right next to me. Chad, you ever taken something that didn't belong to you?
Huh?
You ever taken something that didn't belong to you? You ever had a joke, you know, that I told that you stole and told to somebody else?
Oh, yeah, I steal that stuff all
the
time. Of
course. You know, that's copyright infringement, because every time I tell a joke, I always make that little C hook with my hand. This joke copyright, Joe Burns. Do you steal that stuff from me?
Yeah, I do. I remember when you told us about that stuff in web design class. Oh. You were a big stickler for copywriting images and stuff like that.
Bad stuff can happen when somebody has a copyrighted something or other, and you just decide, what can they take from me? I'll steal it. Can't do that. Hmm. You just can't do that. Has that ever happened in the world of rock and roll?
You think?
Has somebody ever stolen somebody else's song?
No, can't be.
No, not at all.
Nah.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. It has happened numerous times, and that's what we're going to do today.
It's happened enough to give us the material for an hour show.
An entire hour show, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start with the chiffons. Doodle-lang, 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 he's so fine.
They stole that?
Why would anybody steal that? How about George Harrison?
No way.
Oh, yeah, George Harrison. You ever heard the song, My Sweet Lord? Doodle-lang,
yeah.
Doodle-lang, doodle-lang, my sweet Lord.
Come on, man.
No, not really. What we're going to do is we're going to play songs today that were supposedly, maybe, possibly stolen, unintentional, subconscious.
No, they knew what they were doing.
No, maybe, yes. We're going to look at it today. My Sweet Lord, he's so fine. Let me tell you the story. The Belmonts, as in Dion and the Belmonts? Well, you see, Dion had gone on his merry way. The Belmonts, you know, were standing around going, well, we're not going to have any more hits, so we might as well have some fun. They decided to do a novelty hit, singing the song, He's So Fine by the Chiffons over top of My Sweet Lord.
Okay.
And it fit.
Hmm.
Well, a company called Bright Tunes, the owners of the rights to He's So Fine by the Chiffons, listened to it and went, you know what? That sounds like George Harrison stole that.
Hmm.
So they decided to bring suit against Apple Records. George Harrison, instead of going, no, forget you, he listened to it and went, uh-oh, I might have stolen that. So what he did is he quickly tried to settle the suit by attempting to buy the rights to the song.
Okay.
He offered them $100,000 and said, I'll take the rights to the song. Now, you would think that the people at Bright Tunes, this is just some little hit by the Chiffons, you think they would go, I'll take the money. We'll take the money. Wrong.
Oh, they wanted to milk it?
No. A man that was working for Harrison, his name was Alan Klein,
mm-hmm.
behind the scenes was talking to Bright Tunes, and he said, uh-uh, don't do this. Don't take the money. You're going to get a lot more out of Harrison if you take him to court.
Oh, that's just not right.
The plot thickens. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to the song. We'll begin with the Chiffons. You listen to it. Right after the Chiffons, we'll play My Sweet Lord. You tell me if they're equal. Let's go back a few years. Doodle-lang, doodle-lang, doodle-lang. 1963, Chiffons on Rock School.
Doodle-lang, doodle-lang, doodle-lang. Doodle-lang, doodle-lang. He's so fine.
Big poofy skirts and gloves that go all the way up to the elbows.
I like going to a sock hop.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, it goes to court. It goes to court. Bright Tunes takes George Harrison to court, and son of a gun, if he isn't found guilty.
Really?
In August of 1976, U.S. District Court Judge Richard Owen decided that Harrison was guilty of actually stealing the theme to doodle-lang, he's so fine, my sweet Lord. But
what?
He didn't steal it on purpose. He stole it unintentionally and subconsciously.
What?
He stole it unintentionally and subconsciously. Harrison would only have to pay 75% of his royalties to Brighttunes, the people who actually owned He's So Fine,
yeah,
because it wasn't a complete theft. He did it subconsciously.
Well, you said he didn't know. He's, oh, I may have stolen that.
Well, 75% he stole. Let's take a listen to it.
Okay.
My sweet Lord, you take a listen to it. You tell me if it's a direct theft from He's So Fine here on Rock School. Didn't he steal it?
He stole that thing.
Took it straight away.
Note for note.
So George Harrison, obviously has to pay the 75% royalties over to Brighttunes, right?
Yeah, he
wrong.
Does. What do you mean wrong?
Wrong. Do you remember before I played the My Sweet Lord, I sort of threw in a name real quick, Alan Klein?
Yeah, who's Alan Klein?
I said Alan Klein went to the people at Brighttunes, and he said, hey, don't take the $100,000 that George Harrison is offering. Don't take that. He's worth a lot more money.
Yeah, he was like a Harrison
two-faced
guy.
Yeah, sort of two-faced guy. Well, George Harrison never had to pay any royalties.
Why?
Because Brighttunes went belly up.
Oh.
They went belly up. They were sold to a company called Abco. Abco was owned by, guess who?
Not Alan Klein.
Alan Klein.
Wow.
So Alan Klein was in turn sued by George Harrison. The plot was unraveled. The last lawsuit, the one Harrison brought, stated that Harrison would only have to reimburse Klein the money that he paid for the Brighttunes catalog. But,
oh, gosh.
Harrison now owned, through the lawsuit, He's So Fine, which is the only money that he would have received through the Brighttunes catalog, which means the only money that would have come in was from He's So Fine, which is the only money that Harrison would have had to have paid.
I got a headache now, dude.
Game over.
Game over. Okay.
Game over.
Wow.
Two lawsuits later, My Sweet Lord, He's So Fine, in Harrison's back pocket. He has both of them. Alan Klein has nothing except this Abco, which owns no song that's worth any money. And guess what? Another song was written out of it. This is called the Sue You, Sue Me Blues from George Harrison from his album Living in the Material World from 1973 on Rock School. As a sue you, sue me blues from Living in a Material World. I guess all of those lawsuits will make you very, very angry, George Harrison. Here.
Eye for an eye.
Rock School. Nah, he took more than an eye for an eye. He got nailed behind his back, and he turned around. He nailed Alan Klein right back.
Now,
right back.
That's good for him, man.
You know what?
What?
What do you do to get out of a contract? Do you turn over and you say to a guy, hey, I don't want to work with you anymore? And the guy says, then I get all the royalties from these songs. And he, okay, fine. What if the guy turns around and says, hey, your songs that you're writing now, they sound too much like the songs you wrote back then. And he sues you.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Can you really be copyright infringement against yourself? We'll tell you about it in 1 minute on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about a few copyright infringement lawsuits. John Fogerty was the lead singer and main songwriter for Creedence Clearwater Revival. Well, Creedence Clearwater Revival had pretty much run its course, and John Fogerty decided he wanted to go out on his own. The problem was Fantasy Records, who was basically this guy named Saul Zance, Z-A-E-N-T-Z, Zance. He basically owned CCR. And when John Fogerty said, I've had enough, I don't want to write record under CCR anymore, Zance said, well, I'm not letting you out of the contract. That's pretty much it. You have to record as CCR, because if you leave, how am I going to make any more money? Well, John Fogerty said to him, tell you what, you take the CCR catalog. You take it, and in exchange for you taking it, Saul, I get to keep everything I make as a solo artist.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, seems like a fair shake.
Okay, fine. So he takes off. John Fogerty takes off. He has one, his first album comes out. It does okay. He has another album coming out, and the first song that comes off the album, it's called The Old Man Down the Road, and it starts to become a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to do well. And John Fogerty is finally going, whew, boy, that first album scared me to death. I didn't know if I was going to make any money, and I was a little nervous. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, John Fogerty is slapped with a lawsuit. You, sir, have plagiarized yourself.
What?
What? What? Can I do that? Is that at all possible? Here's what Zance said. The song, The Old Man Down the Road,
okay,
sounds exactly like the CCR song, Run Through the Jungle.
Really?
And if you recorded the song, The Old Man Down the Road, exactly like you did Run Through the Jungle, I, Saul Zance, own Run Through the Jungle. So you got to give me all the money you make off of The Old Man Down the Road.
Boy, what people won't do.
So let's take a listen to them. I'll tell you what happened between the song and after the end of the song. This is Run Through the Jungle. Listen mainly to the music, because that's where Zance basically says the equalities are. Run Through the Jungle, CCR on Rock School. Creedence Clearwater Revival better run through the jungle. So it goes to court.
Okay.
Zance, Saul Zance gets this thing to court, and John Fogerty takes the stand, and he brings his number one witness, his guitar. He sits there at the, you know, at the microphone, at the stand, and basically is his lawyer says to him, explain to us the concept. And what he did, he, John Fogerty, was explained to the jurors, look, I'm a musician. I sing in specific keys. My voice sounds best. I won't hurt myself singing too high or too low,
yeah,
if I sing in these specific keys.
Yeah.
I also play the guitar a specific way. I like this kind of swamp music sounding stuff. I,
yeah,
like this kind of stuff. And he played both of the songs back to back, and he explained how the chordal structures are similar but nowhere near equal. And the jury listened to him, and after listening to both songs, they agreed that the songs are similar, but are not
the
same song. Mm. Well, it ends there, right? Wrong.
Why?
It goes farther.
Why?
Than that.
If a jury says, okay, that's it, then that should be it.
Oh, no. Fogerty is not one to lay down and die. He comes back and bites Saul one more time, and it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. You've heard Run Through the Jungle? Here's the one that supposedly is the perfect copy of it. There's an old man down the road. Rock School. We'll be right back. I don't hear it.
I don't either.
They're both in the key of E. Both songs are in the key of E, and in all honesty, both melody lines are simplistic.
Okay.
So you could go, run through the jungle. It's the same note. Dun, 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 dun. I guess it's two notes. Run through the jungle.
Yeah.
It's a simplistic melody line, so technically it fits over top of it. I don't hear it one bit.
Okay, so question.
I don't hear it.
So
yeah.
You said Fogerty then turned around and took Zantz to court.
That's right.
But Zantz already owned all of the previous CCR music. So
right.
Fogerty didn't sue him for copyright infringement.
No, what he did is he sued him for frivolous lawsuit. Basically, what he said... Lawsuit. What he basically said was to the court, this man, Saul Zantz, went ahead and sued me with a case that was so silly, so stupid, that he was using the court system to just simply... bother me.
Okay.
To just bug me.
So you wasted my time and
you
my money.
You wasted my time and my money.
Over
and it literally.
So foolish,
that's then. Right. It literally went all the way to the Supreme Court and he won. He, John Fogerty, won.
Good so it, for him.
It has become legal precedent in this country, thanks to John Fogerty, that if a suit is found frivolous, the party that brought the suit will have to reimburse you all of the money.
All right. Riddle me this.
Riddle me this, Batman.
You are a musician.
Yes.
You know chords on a guitar.
Sure.
Okay, I know I'm a drummer, but I know the basic chord patterns and stuff like that.
Sure.
There are so many chords to go around. There are songs. There are literally thousands of songs that follow the same chord pattern.
Yeah, Johnny Be Good and Bebop Alula is basically the same song one-fifth higher.
Right, right. Okay. The one that comes to my mind is Green Day's When I Come Around.
Yeah, it's an A.
And Aerosmith's Crying.
Yeah.
They both, to a certain extent, go dun 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 dun, but not in the exact same tempo, so to speak.
Yeah.
So how come...
They're different in tempo.
So that's all you need.
That's enough. You got to understand also, see, rock and roll is just the concept of... I wrote a giant paper on this, so I'm going to try to take this in 30 seconds and put this together. Rock and roll is as much performance as it is the music.
Okay.
So you take two songs... that are almost exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
and you give it to Chuck Berry, and you give it to Metallica,
mm-hmm.
they will not be the same song.
All right.
They will not, by any stretch of the imagination, be the same song. You give the same chords to me, you give the same chords to James Hetfield, we won't play them the same way.
Okay.
So there's not just the concept of the same chords, because if it is, then EAD... which is a basic chord progression, can only be played by one human being.
Right.
It's not just that the chords are equal, it's the concept of performance of the chords.
So it has to be like almost identical for you to go in and say, that's not yours, that's mine.
In fact, it has to be gosh darn close to identical.
Okay.
Much like Huey Lewis and Ray Parker Jr.
Who we're going to get into right now, right. Let's, after we pitch the website.
The website is KSLU.org. Wow, that was clever.
How about that?
We're radio people. KSLU.org. Look for the chalkboard on the right. It says Rock School. You can get us in podcast format, or if you want to write us an email, by all means, write us an email.
KSLU Rock School, gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com.
That's right.
Send us an email and let us know what you think. Ask us questions. Try to stump the professor. No stump this week. I'm learning.
Yeah, sure.
I want to learn. I don't want to spend any more time trying to mess with him. I want to learn.
Remember the movie Ghostbusters?
I sure do.
He slimed me, man.
Yeah.
The first person that was contacted to do the theme of Ghostbusters was Huey Lewis in the News.
Okay.
Huey Lewis said, no, we can't do it because we're already contracted to do work for the movie Back to the Future.
Oh, cool.
Okay. The second person contacted was Ray Parker Jr.,
okay.
who, by the way, was an excellent musician in his own right. He was with a band called Radio, R-A-Y-D-O,
mm-hmm.
and he did very, very good stuff on his own. It's not like he was a bad musician. It's not like he was a rip-off artist or anything like that. I want to get that out of the way straight off.
Okay.
Ray Parker Jr. was told, we want you to make a song that sounds like I Want a New Drug. Here's the problem. Ghostbusters, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Not only sounds like I Want a New Drug, it copies the melody and the bass line note for note.
Yeah, it sounds a lot alike.
You betcha. And a plagiarism suit was brought forth. Let's hear them, and I'll tell you what it sounds like. First of all, I Want a New Drug. Huey Lewis in the News. Rock School. Yeah. Got it?
Yeah, that might be a blatant steal.
That's not a blatant steal. That was a guy rounding second, and the guy on second base standing there going, where's the ball? He just stole it.
So they told Ray Parker, we want something like I want a new drug.
And he took it straight away.
Took it straight away.
Now, what happened? Ray Parker was sued by Huey Lewis and the News, and Huey Lewis and the News basically said, you know, we don't want a complete lawsuit. We don't want this out in the public. You know, look, you made some money. We made some money. How about we just settle out of court? And they did.
Mm-hmm.
But Ray Parker may have had the last laugh.
Why is that?
Because when they settled out of court, a large sum of money was given from Ray Parker's publishing company to Huey Lewis and the News' publishing company. Realize, very seldom do artists own their rights to their song. Seldom. Normally, it's publishing company to publishing company. Okay. Artists sell their songs to publishing companies. Okay. Very seldom does an artist own his own songs. Like, okay, Don McLean owns his own songs. I know Prince owns his own songs. But other than that, normally the publishing company owns it. So, Ray Parker put a stipulation on the lawsuit, a gag order. What? Don't talk about it.
Okay.
Don't mention it. Don't bring it up. Which makes sense. Look, Ray Parker took a public beating in the, you know, in the public arena. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, I want to live the rest of my life as a musician. I don't want this brought up every 10 seconds. Shut up about it.
Okay.
And Huey Lewis said, you got it. We'll be quiet about it. In the Behind the Music show,
uh-oh,
for Huey Lewis and the News, Huey Lewis mentioned it, talked about it. Ray Parker has decided to sue him and is asking for all that money back.
Wow.
Breach of contract. He may win in the end anyway.
Oh, you mean it's not settled yet?
It's not settled yet. Dun 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 Ghostbusters. Straight thief. Straight steal. Straight take. And you know what?
What?
He might get away with it because Huey Lewis couldn't shut up. Rock School. Ray Parker Jr., he may get it all back. He may get it all back because Huey Lewis would not shut. Who are you going to call? Your lawyer.
Yeah,
hey, he wouldn't shut his mouth. You had a question for me.
Yeah, okay. So all these people are getting mad because they're using their songs.
Using the song illegally, using the song without permission,
okay,
that's a very important point.
Well, what happens if I want to use the song? What do I need to do?
Well, let's say I write a song.
Yeah.
I write, Joey has a little lamb.
I love that song.
Okay, fine.
I'd like
you want
to
use it. It depends if I own it. Let's say I own it. You would contact me and say, I'd like to use that song or I'd like to remake that song. I would say, okay, fine. You either give me X amount of money or give me X percentage of the royalties that you make off of that song.
The money that I make off.
Right.
I'll cut you a check.
Let's think of like Can't Touch This. Dun, 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 dun,
right.
Dun, dun, dun. That was a sample
Super
of Super Freak.
That's Super Freak.
If I'm not mistaken, and by the way, I probably have the percentage wrong, I think it was 35% that Rick James received of all royalties off of that song.
Okay.
Which is why he never got sued. Rick James was told, look, I'm going to use the bass line from Super Freak. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And he said 35%. Do you remember Run DMC and Aerosmith? Run DMC covered Walk This Way.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I know, and again, I might not have the percentages right on, but because the bands did the song together and Aerosmith understood the concept of using a pop band to get themselves back into the limelight, if I'm not mistaken, they split it right down the middle. 50% royalties went to Aerosmith, 50% royalties went, not Aerosmith, but 50% royalties went to Run DMC, and 50% royalties went to the two guys that wrote it, the two guys that are sent as writers, which would be the lead singer, Joe Perry and Steven Tyler.
Okay.
So it would go to the people who wrote it.
So in other words, if you do it the right way, it could be a great thing. Sure. Make some beautiful music.
Sure.
Not that the stolen stuff is not good, but
yeah.
If you do it illegally, it
ask
just...
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 digga, ding, ding. Ding, 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 digga, ding, ding.
He put an extra tone in there.
Yeah, he stole Queen and David Bowie's Under Pressure and got sued out of existence.
Yeah, man.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about a little bit of copyright infringement, otherwise known as don't touch that. That's mine. During the rap revolution in the very, very late 70s and early 80s, a lot of rap groups were coming out. Run DMC was really the leader of all of this, the ones that really hit hardest. And what rap groups were doing was known as sampling. They were grabbing bits of pieces of music of, you know, soul groups, funk groups, and even classic rock groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taking these pieces of music, and no one really knew what to do until the early 90s, and then the lawsuits began to start flying absolutely all over the place. Isn't there, like, a statute of limitations on this kind of thing? Isn't there a point at which you stop and you go, look, you can't sue anymore? No.
Apparently not.
No.
Still happening.
Let me tell you some fun stuff. Now, we're not a rap show. We're not a rap show. But we're going to play about 30 seconds of a rap song just to see if you, the audience, can figure out what song is being sampled. This is Run DMC. They've been brought to court. We'll tell you. We'll play about 30 seconds, 40 seconds of the song. This is It's Tricky, a big hit for them in 1986. Listen, see if you can figure out what song is being sampled. We'll only play about 40 seconds of it right here, Rock School.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky. It's tricky.
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 It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky.
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 Tricky. I met this little girly. Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave real early.
All they just say is please me or spend some time.
Okay, can you do it? Do you know what song they're sampling?
I think I do.
Do it. What is it?
I think it's My Sharona.
It is. It's My Sharona by The Knack.
Da, da, da.
My Sharona. Now, my question is, wouldn't you have sued Run DMC back in 1986 when you heard that this was being used?
I don't know. To me, it sounds like a blatant ripoff, but I'm so... careful and cautious or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, I don't want egg on my face to, you know, when they come back and say, no, you're full of it, Chad P. It's not the same song.
Well, it's the song, yeah. And apparently the Knack has run out of money. Los Angeles Superior Court, September 15th, 2006.
2006.
Two decades later, members of the 1980 rock band The Knack today filed a lawsuit against members of Run DMC and Run DMC's producers, distributors, and publishers and record companies over the use of an unlicensed sample of The Knack's 1979 platinum hit My Sharona in the Run DMC song It's Tricky to Rock Around. Believe it or not, the court's going to hear the suit. Can you believe this?
20 years later?
20 years later, the Knack is going to get their day in court.
Oh, good grief.
Careful what you take, kids. It can come back and bite you 20 years later. Here's the Knack on Rock School. Well, I guess there you go. 20 years later, we're running out of money.
Yeah.
Sharona, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Sharona, if you're wondering where the name came from, it was the girlfriend of the lead singer. She now sells real estate in Los Angeles.
Hey.
Honest to goodness. We're going to finish up. One more song. We got time for one more song. Are you familiar with the lawsuit against Napster brought by Metallica?
Oh, gosh. Who
oh,
is
yeah.
It?
That went on for a good bit. And Metallica took a real, you know, punch in the face, a real black eye for doing it, but they're right. You just don't get to take music for free. And as much as I would have loved to use that, to, you know, because I tell this to my students and they all look at me and go, oh, come on, Dr. Burns, you did that. You took it. No, I didn't. I didn't use Napster. I didn't use LimeWire.
Good
I didn't do that because, you know, all I got's my reputation, you know, and I'm not going to get nailed for that. How did it get started? Most people think it was because of the song Until It Sleeps. Wrong. Metallica was looking at Napster and they found the song I Disappear, which is from the MI2, Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack, and they were upset mainly because the song was not yet done. Somebody who was working in the recording studio took an earlier version, threw it up on the web, Napster picked it up, and that's what really upset them the most, the fact that a song got out that was not finished. They brought a copyright lawsuit. It was joined in 2000 by Dr. Dre, Madonna, A&M Records. Napster was found guilty on all three claims of that their users were infringing on copyright. Napster was liable and that Napster was liable for vicarious infringement of plaintiffs' copyrights. Napster was destroyed.
Yes, indeed.
Careful what you take, kids. If it isn't yours, if you don't have permission, you're done. Dr. Burns said so.
That's right.
I'm Joe Burns. You are?
I'm Chad P. I'm going to download music.
Don't.
No, I'm not.
Don't. Bad stuff can happen to you. I think we're done.
Yep.
Class is dismissed.
Yeah.